In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's be seated. You may be wondering, where is Father David? Father David, suspect that he had a minor stroke the other day, but he's doing fine now, but his doctor advised him to take some rest, and so that's what he's doing. So I talked to him, and he's doing well and fine, and Lynn also told me that he's doing okay, but let's keep him in our prayers. So he titled the sermon that he was going to preach, Church as the Salt Shaker. So I thought, you know, maybe I say something a little more to that, you know, maybe church as the salt and pepper shaker. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. Jesus is a master at using hyperbole. There are times when it is necessary to use the grotesque language with people who are too deaf and dumb and blind to understand a more subtle or nuanced use of language in conversation. In our gospel reading today, we see injunctions that are expressed in the severe terms we now know as Sharia law from the Muslim world. Punishments such as having a great millstone hung around your neck and thrown into the sea, or amputating one's hand or foot, or plucking out one's eye, are too gruesome and don't show any subtlety. But they are meant to be hyperbole for instructional purposes and not to be taken literally. However, the presence of these passages help us recall times when Christian community practiced barbarity and injustice in the way it dealt with those who deviated from the community norms and expectations. Let us remember the history of Salem witch hunt, or the way we treated homosexuals in our country up until recently, or how they are being treated even now by some churches in our own Anglican communion in other parts of the world. Isn't it a terrible thing that people use Jesus' words literally to further their aims? But let us focus on what made Jesus respond to his disciples in these seemingly stark terms. John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, came to him and said, "We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." Doesn't it sound like the beginning of a tattletale? Apparently, John was concerned about outsiders using Jesus' name to cast out demons. And not only using that, and he was successful at it. How dare others use his master's name to cast out demons? He couldn't stand the thought of anyone else using what was theirs, their exclusive property, so to speak. Earlier in the gospel, we read an incident when people complained to Jesus that his own disciples couldn't cast out demons. And now, seeing that someone who was not a disciple of Jesus was able to cast out demons using Jesus' name, this was something really, really unthinkable for them. They couldn't just handle it. It's too much. Perhaps they were jealous at the success of the outsiders. The disciples viewed the use of Jesus' name as an unauthorized infringement, like piracy today, or stealing their intellectual property. Jesus' reaction and response reflected his earlier view that one did not have to be explicitly a disciple to do God's work. Remember when once Jesus was told by his disciples, "Your mother and siblings are waiting outside for you." And see how Jesus replied, "Whoever does the will of my God is my brother, my sister, and my mother." As far as Jesus was concerned, what mattered was whether God's purposes were being fulfilled, such as demons were being cast out and peoples were setting free. The person who uses Jesus' name to expel demons shows some sort of respect, regardless of his or her personal commitment to Jesus. No one can claim to own the name of Jesus. Instead, Jesus owns those who call upon his name. Ultimately, whoever is not against us is for us. When people are engaged in doing good, whether it is casting out demons, setting people free, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, or healing the sick, they are doing God's work, and they are not against us. We are all in it together. Sometimes we forget that we are all in the same boat. We need to stick together, not to fight against someone or something, but for camaraderie and collegiality. Here at St. Peter's, we are able to provide lunch Monday through Friday because we work together with other churches in Phoenixville. We are not in competition with each other. We work together, we were in dialogue, and we are in conversation with each other. We need to grow in our faith by being supportive communities in doing God's work, in worshiping God. Faith is not a competition. Of the many beautiful and moving sermons and speeches Pope Francis made during his visit, the one that stood out for me the most was the one he gave to the joint session at the Congress. He told the members of Congress they need to work together regardless of their differences. He pleaded for their unity to solve the woes of the world. He said, "I am convinced that we can make a difference. No one has a corner on all the right answers. We can no longer afford to wage war against each other when larger problems are facing us." I hope and pray that Pope's visit to the Congress will have a lasting impact on how our elected representatives will behave. Many of our churches in Philadelphia are closed today due to the measures taken to offer Pope the maximum security. They all held their services a few days before. Do you know what our bishop did on behalf of the diocese in welcoming the Pope? Diocese put an ad in Philadelphia Inquirer welcoming Pope to the city of Philadelphia, and then made a significant donation to a Catholic charity that feeds the poor in the city of Philadelphia. "For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. Let us, unlike John, who sees others doing the work of God as competitors, let us see them as comrades. Let us see them as colleagues working in the same vineyard together. Unlike our culture, the goal of faith is not winning. The goal of believing is not who can be better. When we see someone doing good to another person in need, rather than feeling resentful about it, let us see the face of Jesus in that person.